Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
Him night and day. He didn't bring one piece of gold to buy some food to eat. Instead, he turned and laid it all down at the Father's feet. He left it all. They're crucifying. They say that he's a king, but judging from the clothes he wears, he doesn't own a thing. But little did they know that day, as his blood came streaming down, he owned the sun, the stars, and the moon. He even owned the ground.
Not 10,000 bowing down, not one piece of jasper wall. He left it all.
He left it all.
This is written in stone. This is what God said. This is how you live your life. This is what you do. The problem is they don't understand what they are teaching, and this is dangerous. In fact, the Bible makes it clear here that instead of presenting the truth, they pervert the law. So instead of helping and benefiting someone, what they are actually doing is harming. Now, look what the Bible says in verse number 8. Now, Paul here makes this statement, and it's very important because they desire to be a teacher of the law, but they don't understand the law. They don't understand the purpose of the law. And Paul makes it very clear, verse 8, that the law is good, but it has to be used lawfully, or the law is good if it is used in its intended purpose. So the question we have to ask is, what is the purpose of the law? Now remember, these were legalists. They were adding the law to eternal life. They were saying, you know, it's about Christ, but also you have to do these things in the law. And here the Bible makes it clear they desire to teach these things, but they don't understand the law. They don't understand what they're affirming, what they're stating as fact. And so what does the Bible say is the purpose of the law? Now let's listen. This is important because a lot of people get this confused. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and the 19th verse together. Romans chapter 3. And verse 19. Romans chapter 3. I need to get my fingers to move faster. Romans 3 and verse 19. So here's what the Bible says. The purpose of the law. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So here the Bible says that the law is written to those who are under the law, and the purpose of the law is to show that all humanity is guilty before God. In other words, no one has an excuse. We have all broken the law of God. So if you're in the habit of writing things down, I encourage you to write this thought down. This will help us as you talk to people as well. The purpose of the law is to turn man to Christ for righteousness. The purpose of the law is to turn man or humanity to Christ for righteousness. Now, Romans chapter 10 makes this very clear. Romans chapter 10, this is the Apostle Paul talking about his countrymen, talking about the Jews. He said this in verse 1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Sometimes you talk to people and they'll make statements about people saying, well, they're zealous and they're passionate. But the reality is that being zealous or passionate about that which is false is not going to benefit your life any. And the Bible says of the Apostle Paul, speaking of his kinsmen, his fellow people, he says, hey, they have a zeal for God. They have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. They're heading quickly in the wrong direction. They're zealous, but they're heading in the wrong direction, he says. Now notice what he says, verse 3. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," or how God will make an individual righteous. So they are ignorant of God's righteousness and they're going about to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you want to follow the law to gain eternal life, then you would have to follow the law perfectly in every way. The Bible even tells us in the book of James that if you've broken the law in one point, you are guilty of all of the law. You've transgressed against God. You're a lawbreaker and you are guilty. The reality is there's not a person on this earth that loves God with all their soul, their mind, and their might. We have all broken the law of God. And then to love our neighbor as ourself. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? The reality is that we are all guilty before God. And the Bible teaches us that the law is to turn man to the righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ. Because we have to admit, listen, if it's about keeping the law, we're going to fall short every single time. And what a burden it would be. What a burden it would be to try to keep God's law perfectly every single time. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ did not come to destroy the law. He came to complete it. He came to fulfill it. Why? Because the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I love that old English word, schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is a teacher. It's a tutor. And the Bible says that the law teaches us that we cannot save ourselves, that we are guilty before God. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it this way in the book of Romans. He said it was the law that taught him the knowledge of sin. So we know that we should not covet. We know that that covetousness is wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not covet it. It's God's standard, and we understand I've broken God's law. I'm guilty before God, and therefore I need a Savior. Now, these false teachers that Paul is referring to in 1 Timothy, they were adding the law to eternal life. And by the way, that's called legalism. Legalism is when you add things in order to benefit or gain eternal life. And so the Bible teaches us that all of us have a sin problem. Now, let's look back at our text, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 8 of our text. So look what the Bible says in verse 8, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Here Paul continues this very thought as we consider the law and the purpose of the law. Now remember the thought here, the law is good if it's used lawfully, if it's used for its intended purpose. And so he says for us in verse number 9, knowing this, knowing what? That the law is good, that the law has a purpose. God made the law for a specific purpose. So knowing this, verse 9, that the law is not made for a righteous man would be one who is born again. It's a saved man. It's an individual that is not under the law, but under the law of grace, as is stated, or the law of faith. And so the Bible says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. But look at this, for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be anything, other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So really, Paul didn't leave anything out. Paul is saying the purpose of the law is, first of all, for those who are lawless. Now, the thought there to be lawless is to be those who have no law. And generically, it's speaking about the wicked. It's speaking of those who don't want to be under God's authority, those who live their life their own way. It generically is speaking of the wicked, the lawless, those who have no law. And then the disobedient are those who are not under God's authority, who will not obey. The ungodly are those who do not worship God. Sinners is simple. It talks about those who have missed the mark. That's the idea of sin, to miss the mark. They have sinned against God. The Bible says they have all come short of the glory of God. And then the unholy are those who don't regard their responsibility before God and man. Profane are scoffers. The Bible says in the last days, there'll be scoffers, those who will scoff at the truth. And so someone who is profane, they are one who scoffs at the truth, and they mock God and they mock the word of God. And then this is very interesting. The Bible says a murderer of father. It's interesting that thought there, the parricide, or really the thought there, the murderer of a parent, forbidden under the law of Moses. It's also interesting as you study that word and that idea, it's interesting to note that the Romans thought it wasn't possible. In fact, they did not have a law against it because they thought it was impossible for a child to take the life of a parent. And so really what this is, the thought is that it is the crime of the highest order. In fact, even worse, a murderer of a mother, the Romans would consider this a monstrous crime. Again, they didn't even have a law against it because they didn't think it was possible that a child would take the life of their mother. They considered this unthinkable. And then he talks about whoremongers and those that defile themselves with mankind, sodomites, men stealers, that the idea is to steal someone and for the purpose of making them a slave. Liars, perjured persons, are liars under oath. They are ones that injure and harm and hurt the testimony of other people. And then the Bible just makes a generic thought here. And any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, anything that is against the law, anything that is against the teaching of Christ, This is what the law is meant for. So the law is not for a righteous man. Now, what is it talking about? Why does the Bible say that the law is not for a righteous man? Well, first of all, if you are under the law of faith or the law of grace, then you are positionally above the law. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't follow the law. It just means that you are under a different law. In other words, the law doesn't make you holy. The Lord makes you holy. That's a wonderful thing. You are declared righteous in the sight of God. But the Bible teaches us that we are now under not the law, but the law of love. So I want you to go to Romans chapter 13, and I want you to think about the law of love, what the Bible is teaching us, the law of love. So we are under, as Christians, under the law of faith. We know Christ is our Savior. We are not depending on the law to make us holy, but we are trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we are under the law of love. Now look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 13. It's an interesting statement, the 13th chapter. And let's look, if we could, in verse number 8. Romans chapter 13, verse number 8. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, which is the law of God, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so there's no longer the burden of the law, but now an individual is not responding to the law because this is what we have to do, but under the law of grace and the law of love, this is what we get to do. We get to, through the love of Christ in our hearts, love our neighbor and help our neighbor. And so the Bible says here in this passage of scripture, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, verse 9, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Basically, it's the law, but we see the motivation is different in the life of a Christian. It all derives from the law of love. This is what Christ has done for us. We want to honor him. We want to glorify him. It is the love of Christ that shines through. And so the Bible teaches us that the law of God is fulfilled in love as Christ lives and loves through us. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so here we find the passage of scripture teaches us, first of all, that the law of God is not for a righteous man. We're under a different law. We're under the law of love and Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Bible teaches us. But the Bible does teach us in this passage of scripture that the law is for these individuals who are under the law, and therefore the law declares their inability to save themselves, their need for a Savior, and that they are guilty before God. You see, the law is given to show humanity their sin and their need for a Savior. From the horrendous sins, from the simple sins, from a humanity's point of view, the Bible teaches us that the law has one purpose, and that is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so the law emphatically points to a Savior. The law emphatically points to a Savior. So what does the law teach us? If it's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, what's the teaching of the law? First of all, we have all sinned against God. We've all sinned against God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're talking with someone and you're trying to lead them to the Lord Jesus, before they can get saved, they got to get lost. Before they realize they need help, they need to understand they're helpless in their own selves. And you need to show them from a Bible that the law teaches them that they have sinned against God. Have you ever told a lie? And it's interesting, Jesus had taken that not only in the New Testament, not only from the actions of an individual, but the motivations of an individual. He said, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, but if you hate your brother, then you've committed murder in your heart, right? So the Bible teaches us that we're guilty before God. It teaches us that we're sinners. It teaches us the high standard of God For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, even our good, what we would call good, you know, helping people cross the street, carrying someone's groceries, all of those things, from my point of view, they're wonderful things. Don't get me wrong. You should do those. But you should do those as a Christian from the wall of love, not to be saved, but because you are saved. Different motivation. The law of love is, hey, I want to serve you, for Christ has saved my soul, has given me eternal life. Where when someone is under the law, they do these things to try to bring righteousness upon them. And so it teaches us the high standard of God, that if you've broken one of these commands, you've broken all of them. I think of Moses when he's carrying the Ten Commandments, and there is Aaron and his people, the children of Israel, are worshiping idols, and he breaks those Ten Commandments. And someone has suggested, when you commit idolatry, you break all of God's commandment at one time. The reality is this: when you break one commandment, you've broken all the commandment. And if you've told one lie, you are in danger of hellfire. This is what the Bible says. This is God's standard. I've said many times, the law was not given to us to help us. It was given to us to leave us helpless, to show us that we cannot save ourselves. And so it is impossible to keep God's law. So what is the remedy for all of this? Well, it's given to us in the next verse. Look what the Bible says in verse number, back to our text here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look what the Bible says here in verse number 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. We're running out of time here, but I want us to understand that this is really the climax of what Paul is saying. It all comes down to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Paul is spending time here. He's correcting this doctrine. The law is our schoolmaster. It directs us. It shows us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And this gospel, Paul said, was committed to my trust. I don't know if you're like me, but I don't like borrowing someone else's car. Are you afraid when you're driving someone else's car and you take more care, you're more cautious, and sometimes because you're more cautious, you're more prone to an accident because you become overcautious, you overthink everything, and it becomes even more dangerous. But the reality is, when someone gives me or loans me that car, then now that car has been committed to my trust. And that's a big deal. I mean, they are trusting me with their car. You know, everything in this building belongs to the Lord. I hope you understand that. This is God's building. Everything belongs to God. This is all purchased by people giving their money to God. And it's a wonderful building, but this all belongs to the Lord. We are stewards of what God has given to us. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. He's talking about the gospel, and he says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." The word dispensation is the word stewardship. That's the thought. Paul said, a stewardship of the gospel has been given to me. So I'm going to close, but I just want us to understand what he's trying to tell us in this passage of scripture. What he's trying to teach us, what he's telling Timothy, what he's teaching these false teachers, is that everything comes down to the glorious gospel. The law, the prophets, the work of the apostles, the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus, all of it is about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's saying in this passage of scripture that listen, these people, they desire to be teachers of the law, but they don't understand what they're teaching. And they don't understand what they're affirming, what they're stating is fact. The law is good. The law has purpose. But if it has to be used for the right purpose, and that is to bring us to the Lord Jesus. And he said, I want you to know that God reached down from heaven, and he placed the gospel in my hands, like those keys to that car. And he placed them in my hands. And he said, now, Paul, I'm going to commit this to your trust. That's a big deal. And that's something that Paul took very, very seriously. And we'll continue this thought as we move forward in the book of 1 Timothy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for the truths that we have, Lord. There's so many wonderful thoughts and truths for our life. And Lord, as we continue to study through this wonderful book, Lord, I pray our eyes would be open. I pray that we would be thirsty to hear and to know the word of God. And that through all of our time and effort, that we would grow because of it.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives. And yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.